Welcome to Centered, the podcast that celebrates the journey of faith-filled parents. I'm Andrea Camacho, a homeschool mom, widow, and the owner of the Center School of Dance right here in Cookeville, Tennessee. In this podcast, we explore the beautiful journey of intentional parenting where faith, love, and dedication intersect. Whether you're seeking to support your child in their passions and activities, help them foster friendships, or instill godly values within your home, you're in the right place. Together, let's navigate the beautiful chaos of parenthood and cultivate a home centered on faith, love, and purpose. Okay, well, we are here today with Miss Lauren DeLoach, and if you're familiar with the center, you just know how much we adore Miss Lauren, and the children love her. She moved here from California right before COVID hit in 2020. Yes. It was a crazy time. And she was just an answer to prayer for us. I had literally that season been praying a specific prayer that the Lord would send people who had a heart for dance, who really just wasn't a skill set, but really had a same passion and the same heart for children and for dance. And then I actually had a hiring ad out for an administrative position, and here this amazing ballet teacher applied to that ad. And I didn't hardly have anything to offer her that first year. And then we went through COVID and she stuck through all of that. But we have just been so thankful for the gift that Lauren has been to our community. She is an RAD certified teacher, and she'll tell you a little bit more about that. But that is an intensive process. There are certifications out there that can take you a weekend, that might take you a couple hours. The RAD certification process is like an associate's degree. It's 2-year minimum. Thousands of dollars. You have to travel there. You go through examination processes, and she has to keep up her education with continuing ed. So she's just someone who has invested a lot herself and just knows what she's doing, but also has a heart of gold and really loves children. So we are so grateful for her. So welcome, Miss Lauren.
Well, thank you for having me.
So go ahead and just tell us a little bit about your background. You know, a lot of what we're doing here is talking to parents and families. And so I would love to hear about you as a tiny little dancer and what that experience was like for you, how you fell in love with dance. And
well, once upon a time, I'm just kidding. I was really showing signs of dance when I was able to walk. But, you know, my mom was like, you know, to my dad, like, she wants to dance. You can tell she's on her tippy toe. She's whacking her leg up, doing weird things, spinning around the house. But my dad's like, let's wait till she's in kindergarten because, you know, at such young age, like, what do I know? Like, will she like this? Will she not like it? Will she throw a tantrum? Like, how will she respond? So he's like, when she starts kindergarten, she can go and start dance. And let me tell you, I was like hooked day one. I remember walking with my pink leotard, pink tights. Oh, no, we didn't even wear tights then. We had to wear socks and a skirt and bare legs, you know. Luckily, I lived in Florida, so it was always hot, so I never had to worry about being cold. But I just remember going into this dance school, and I was just hooked. I honestly was. Like, it was a creative dance. At the time, we did pre-primary level things with RAD, which we'll talk about, like, the imagination, and we were had to, like, sew things with our hands to show, like, our beautiful, like, fingertips and, like, pointing our toes. And I was just hooked. I didn't want to do anything else. I also was the student that, like, if people were talking when the teacher was, like, I would give them, like, the side eye. And my mom's like, you really need to control your face. Like, you can't be doing that. But I'm like, they're talking over the teacher. So I was just ready to take dancing to the next level. And since the age of 5.
Yeah, I love that. And sometimes I just think that dance chooses us, you know, and I'll tell my story at some point on here, but I was similar in that I just fell in love at a super young age and didn't run in the family, weren't surrounded by dancers. So sometimes it just chooses us and we know it's a good fit. So how has your dance training impacted you as an adult in your career? Because go ahead and tell us, you actually have your MBA, you have a whole full-time career in addition to what you're doing with dance.
Yes, I say this to everyone that asks me this, dance overlaps in every day of my life. Like, it's so funny. Like, I work as my official role is a client success manager, and I work for a marketing coach, online businesses, and we help female entrepreneurs, like, grow their businesses. And it's just so rewarding, just like helping them make the lives they want, the freedom they want in their businesses, and get to be, a lot of them are moms. So it's just like really nice to see that they get to have that freedom with their families. But I think everything that dance has taught me and wanting to pursue business
and marketing and understanding the ins and outs of that. Because I think in dance, that's something that's not taught. You know, like you go to your dance class, you go do technique and you perform, but people really don't understand, like, you have to learn how to market yourself as a dancer, especially when you go on auditions. It's not just about looks alone, but you know, when they interview you, the way you perform, like that's part of it, but you really have to learn how to market yourself and sell yourself, like what's your value. So like, I feel like that, all that in a nutshell translates not only in my dance life, but also in my full-time position. And so I love having best of both worlds because I feel like we really need to understand both. And I think that's something that was missing. You know, that was like 12 years ago when I pursued my bachelor's in business and my teaching certification. And I think we have to have both. And I think that's what's missing.
Yes, that's amazing. And I know you also talk a lot about storytelling, how the storytelling world of dance overflows into the marketing world for you.
Yes.
Which your favorite story is the Nutcracker.
Yes.
And anytime we're on Christmas Guy, she has a collection of Nutcrackers. She has Nutcracker socks. She has the earrings. She has it all. Mm-hmm. And then she also directs the Nutcracker for us, which this is a Nutcracker year, guys. So get ready, join ballet, audition for the Nutcracker. But tell us about your love of the Nutcracker and some of that storytelling that you have to develop as a performer has gone over into your marketing world as well.
Yes. So I've been every single role in the Nutcracker besides the Mouse King and the Prince. So safe to say, I really love the Nutcracker. I've seen it all. But unfortunately, the studio I grew up in, they didn't do outside performances like ballets or anything. So I had to travel to go find auditions to be a part of like those other shows. Thankfully, my parents, you know, they're like, okay, let's get in the car if this is what you want to do. So the Nutcracker, I think it's a lot of things. I think it's the magic, you know, especially around the holiday time. I think another part that dance is so important is being able to tell a story with our faces and our bodies, because, you know, we are not people that are singing our words. We're not using monologues to tell you how we feel or reading. It's through everything we embody through our bodies. And I think that's what makes dance so incredibly unique. And I think Nutcracker reflects that in so many ways. You'd be surprised, like when I like type posts to market myself in the business side with my other career, a lot of my examples I pull from my dance experience. Like I talk about like the no's I've heard, you know, on auditions, like how many times do the clients I support now, they hear no on a daily basis. I know that rejection feeling. So it's just crazy how my dance experience really helps me with my job now. It's just like crazy how the, you know, that full circle happens.
That resilience is so important. And I think it can be hard as a parent or hard as a dancer when you get that first no. So for us in our community, that could look like you've auditioned for a performing group or for a dance at the center that you really hope to be in and you don't get in either the group you want or you don't get in with your friends. Or it could be the Nutcracker. You're auditioning for a role that you really want and you don't get selected for that role. In the greater dance world, it's like you're auditioning to get into a program, right? A summer intensive. All of those are great experiences. And I would always tell dancers, like, go audition when it's not something you're passionate about. Like, you have to get used to just, one, the experience of auditioning, but two, the hearing the no.
Yeah.
And that does totally transfer over, because when you're in so many things in business, it's a part of any sale to be able to have that conversation and be okay with it not going the way you want to, build so much resilience. So you have talked about how your parents drove you to Nutcracker auditions. And I mean, I just think that is wild, because in some cities, really, parents are driving and they are spending all of their Saturdays for months to have this Nutcracker experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we try to keep our rehearsals to a minimum, but it is hard. It takes outside and extra work for the magic that it produces. But I always see this in productions like the Nutcracker, productions with theater, that extra time that you invest makes the reward so much more worthwhile. It makes it more magical because you've invested all that time. Mm-hmm. But talk to us a little bit about how your parents supported you as a dancer in those long drives, in the choosing of schools, and how can our parents be supportive of the dancers we have in our community today?
Oh gosh. When I like saw, you know, when you sent me the question, like, oh, I'm going to ask you this, it actually got me emotional, because my parents, I'm so fortunate for them. You know, it was just my brother and I, like, dance was always my thing. His was baseball. But, you know, they always said, like, if there is a point that you are not enjoying this, you need to tell us, because they're like, we will support you, invest in like whatever you want to do. But if you're losing sight of the joy, that's when you need to tell us. So that was something that was just so important, because I think, you know, I had friends that were like trying all the things, like the voice lessons, the, you know, going to learn instruments. They were doing soccer, basketball, all these other things. And I'm like, oh, should I be doing that? But I just wasn't interested in that. But then I noticed my friends that were doing that and all the activities, they were getting so worn out, so exhausted. They couldn't commit to one thing. They were missing out on other aspects of like their family lives. There was just not a lot of balance. But I think my parents were just so adamant about like, you know, we will drive you wherever you need to go. And, you know, I lived in Florida. Florida is a very big state. So like oftentimes where I did a lot of my extra, you know, rehearsals and like when I did auditions for summer programs and, you know, not just for Nutcracker as well, but, you know, they drove me like more than 2 hours each way to get to where I need to be for rehearsals. Same thing when I had to do my most advanced ballet exam. Like I had to go 2.5 hours away from home both ways. And, you know, that's just what I wanted to do. And I think the biggest thing that any parent could do is just be supportive and like, just listen. Like if you start seeing that they're not as excited, like going into class, or they're not really talking about like, what did they do today or anything? Like, I think that's when you want to start like, hey, like, how's it going? Like just doing that check-in. My parents would do that routinely because, you know, like as I got older, I was getting more exhausted because I was doing a lot more hours, but I was still like, okay, like I got to go. I was like an Energizer bunny and I want to do it. So I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned, you know, with my parents
over the years. That. Yeah. So really being on their side, which means I'm here to listen when you're struggling and not tell you you have to quit, right? To maybe look through that and say, hey, I support you no matter what. But then also be willing to have the hard conversation if a change does have to be mm-hmm. made. It's really being on the child's side
yeah.
and being on the same team
being no adaptable. Matter what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that willingness, of course, and my parents have, I have so many similar stories of that self-sacrifice of time, just invested into driving places and sitting places and waiting at rehearsals.
Yeah, they're just waiting for me for hours.
And boy, does it pay off though. I mean, the influence, I think when you fall in love with dance, that's something I love about dance. When you fall in love with dance and you can then start to lead and teach, the impact and the influence you can have on future generations is just huge. So I know we'll talk about teaching in a minute, but tell us a little bit about RAD. And I know that's the path that you decided to go into teaching, but mm-hmm. what's different about RAD is the option to exam. And that might be new for a lot of people. So how did that impact you? And why did you choose this path as a teacher?
I think the biggest thing that I was attracted to with the Royal Academy of Dance at a very young age, I was, you know, introduced to it in class. Like, you know, we were striving for something. Steps were always broken down. Like, and then we were rewarded. And, you know, I think I was just that kid that was like the achiever, like the AB honor roll, getting called to the principal's office for good reasons, not bad reasons. Like, I just love the recognition aspect of it. And I think that's, you know, that's definitely how I operate. You know me very well. That's how I operate. Like working towards something and like seeing something through from start to finish is something I thrived on. And I think that's what RAD really embodies, because it's not just throwing steps out, learning combinations, and then moving on to the next thing. Like you're really committed to the detail, memorization, understanding the music. Why are we doing certain things the way we do? And it's really more of the education level of ballet, because, you know, when people think of ballet, they probably think of like the beautiful, you know, companies, American Ballet Theater, and, you know, they're doing these gorgeous things, right? Like, trust me, I was stalking them when I was younger with my dance magazines. Like, I want to do that. But I think what happens though, the RAD has just like this education factor that I really loved. And I think that's what really made me strive to want to be a teacher and understand beyond just the steps. Like I wanted to understand how a student can learn, how they might interpret it differently than another student, like how it can be so individual to the person, even though we're all working on the same thing. Those are just some of the biggest things that stood out to me. And then when I was 16, my mentor at the time, she was like, Lauren, I really think you were supposed to be a teacher. Like there's a lot of people that I've been around that just can't. Like, that's just not in them. But for you, like, I can see you doing this. And like, she introduced me to like hey, this is the teacher route of RED and this is what it entails. And like, I'll support you through it. So like, you know, I was 16. I was like, oh gosh, but I was going to go dance and I was going to go audition first. And oh, maybe I'll go do college first. So like, you know, I was bouncing around a lot of ideas and I was a little overwhelmed, but like, I really had to sit with myself and like, remember, like, why do I love RED? And I, there's so many things I love about it. And, you know, I just wanted to be part of like sharing that, you know, because it's not shared everywhere here in the United States. It's studied in 89 countries, but I was like, how can I make an impact? How can I spread my love of this program somewhere? Like, no matter where I'm at.
And so now we are the only place in Tennessee right now, right?
Yes.
That is certified with RED, which is a huge impact you're making, because I know you moved from cities that had other RED instructors. So I'm sure that was a different feel to move here and kind of be the only one.
Yeah, a little intimidating. Like, oops, I'm the only one. Okay, we'll figure this out.
Well, and what I love about RED is, like we said, this isn't a certification you can just get in a weekend. It requires years and investment. But I also appreciate for our dancers and our families, there is this governing organization. And we've had times where dancers want to break the rules or skip an exam or do things out of order. And it's really not even your opinion. It's, we're not allowed to do that. This is the way this proven method has been set up. And it gives an understanding of, again, the greater industry of dance, that it isn't just Miss Lauren not liking me and not letting me skip years to take one exam before the other, that this is really a method that is proven. And so I think it provides some extra trust there as well.
Yeah, I think so, because it's part of your process, because it's like, naturally, as dancers, we tend to want to like move on to the next thing and we want to skip several steps before passing go. There's my Monopoly reference. But I feel like a lot of times dancers want to get somewhere faster, but you really need to have the foundations before. So it's just really for them as a dancer that we make those decisions.
Yeah. So how do you try to create a supportive and inclusive environment in your classroom? I know that this is something we feel like you do such a great job at.
Thank you.
So we have in our classes always the people that love it, are striving for recognition. You always also have the people that are working really hard. And then you have the people whose personalities, they love being there, but they're a little bit more goofy. They need it to be a little bit less structured. And you have all of these personalities in the same class. How do you navigate helping them all feel included?
I think the biggest motivator as a teacher over the years is like, you know, of course, we've had the teachers that have stayed with us. Like, I can still hear some of my teachers' voices or like things they would tell me over the time. So then there's like those other unfortunate occurrences that were not as positive. And I feel like, unfortunately, those kind of hit you more than the positive ones, unfortunately. But what it taught me is like, I always knew, like, I never wanted to just be the dictator in the room. Like, I didn't want to just hear my annoying voice the whole time. I wanted to hear them, like, and I wanted them to be able to express themselves. I wanted to hear them laugh. I wanted to have them smile and like be goofy with me, because they call me like the Sour Patch Kid, because they know when I'm serious and they know when I'm being silly. Like, it's like finding that borderline. Cause I feel like you have to have both, because I think if you're too flexible, that can go wrong one way. But then if you're too strict and then there's like no flow of conversation really happening, where it's just, you know, getting to know the dancer and they get to know you a little bit, like those little onion layers, right? That you're actually human kind of thing. Like, I feel like there's that fine balance, but I think that's what always motivated me. And like, you know, I think storytelling is like the biggest thing for me with my dancers, like how, because ballet is very technical. So it's like, how can I give them real life examples of like, hey, this is how it should feel like. I want you to think of you having this chocolate and I want you to pretend like we're melting it. We're about to dip it in marshmallows. Like, a lot of my analogies are food. And then they're like, you're making us hungry. And I'm like, that's fine. but just like, how can I just be on that relatable level with them no matter what age they're at and meet them halfway? And I think there's just been so many times where I was in the classroom where I just felt like it was all about the teacher, what they wanted to do, not really like taking the time. They're just throwing things, like throwing spaghetti to the wall, like hoping something would stick. And we're like, okay, like, I'm not really feeling good about this. Like, this doesn't feel natural. Like, why are we doing this kind of stuff? It's not like really helping me like advance. So like, I just knew I didn't want to like embody that at all. So that was a big motivator.
I love that. And I love that approach. We just talked on the last episode with Shirley, who was talking about parenting and how important it is to be relational and to focus on the relationship over the rules. And I feel like that's exactly kind of what you're saying. And I love that analogy of meeting halfway. I think even whether we're dealing with children as a teacher or as a parent, there is that element of I run to you, which is making me think of the parable of the prodigal son where the, you know, the kid totally messes up and it's the dad who sees him and starts running to say, no matter where you are, I'm going to meet you halfway, mm-hmm. whether it's something we're doing for fun, whether it's something that needs to be a serious conversation, but that we're in this together. So I love that approach. And what do you feel like some of the challenges our youth are facing today? There's a lot that are kind of different than when you were dancing mm-hmm. or even I were dancing. So what challenges do you see the young people facing, and how do you feel like you can use dance to help them overcome some of these challenges?
Yeah, I think that's one of the craziest things I've noticed. You know, I've been teaching officially for like 10 years now, and I think the amount of change of like even when I was the student compared to the teacher, I think there's just, they have access to so many things that unfortunately are more negative than positive. There's a lot more noise. I think the comparison is also a factor. Like, I think comparison was happening, you know, when we were dancing, but we didn't have as much social media. Like, I think the comparison came from the magazines. Like, you're opening up a dance magazine, you're like, oh, look at her leg or look at her feet. You know, like those comparisons do come up, but now it's like amplified like times a thousand because of everything from TikTok to Instagram and like thinking like, oh, you need to be able to do this to be successful in like this avenue as a dancer and vice versa. And I think that's what makes it so, it can be very lonely. I think I remember feeling lonely in like my day, like, but I think something that I think what made dance so powerful was like the people that I grew up with, like the people that moved up in the same level as me. We were like performing together. And I think that's why, you know, like if you hold on to those people, you know, in a safe space, like in a dance class, and you just know that you're not alone, like feeling those things or understanding those things are like, you might feel overwhelmed or, you know, I think that's something we're also seeing more of is like a lot more overwhelm, like between like the school things, the other activities they're participating in. They're trying to stay afloat with all the dance things they're committed to. I think there's like this sense of overwhelm as well, but I think it's just a reminder, like it's one thing at a time. Like if you need to take a step back, that's okay. Like if you need to ask for help, that's okay too. And you're not alone. I think that's one of the biggest thing that dance does for people. Cause I think we're the people that understand it the most. Sometimes the outside, they could understand, but I think it's different when it's internal because dancers are different creatures, I think, yes. in many ways.
Well, and that community aspect is so important. It's one of those things that a lot of people wonder, why was COVID so hard for dance studios? Well, one, as a business, yes, we couldn't perform. We couldn't meet in groups. But it was so hard on dancers because I think parents and teachers alike learned this isn't really about learning dance. It is about learning dance, but it's about the people we do it with. And when we can only see them on a Zoom screen,
it's not
we can't
enough.
Physically be in the same space. We can't be moving together. There's something really unique and special. And what dance does give children that is unique right now is it's one of the few things where you are off of a screen. You're using your physical body. You're connecting in real time, mm-hmm. in real life with people that are skills that are kind of regressing in other areas as
Absolutely.
They spend more time on screen. So I definitely think that's so important. And when we talk about the overwhelm, I will say my friends growing up dancing and then the dancers we've had that seem to somehow balance it all, you know, they figure out they're in like the most involved group at the studio. Mm-hmm. They're there all the time. They're still getting great grades at school. They somehow have figured out this work-life balance that I do see play out in so many of them. And when they go on to school and they're still working jobs or they become parents and they're still navigating teaching at a studio and working and doing everything. So how has that work-life balance played out for you? And do you have any recommendations for parents and dancers trying to balance and juggle all of the things?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing it comes down to is like, what's your priority? Like, I know, you know, even growing up, you know, like I went to performing arts school. So on top of going to normal ballet classes in the evening, I was going to a school where I was doing my education as well as dance. So like it was several hours a day just like back to back. And then, you know, I decided to do dual enrollment on top of that. And then I was working at 16. Like, I was just adding a lot of things. But the priority was, like, I knew what I was striving for. So it's like always asking, you know, your child or your dancer, like, whatever it is, it's like, you know, what do you want? And like, let's figure out a plan to get there. And I think that's one of the things that helped me. It was like, you know, I was very adamant about like my time. Like, I knew my schedule inside and out. Like, I knew when I could be flexible, when did I need downtime? Like, I love calendars and I love checklists. Like, again, you know, that's me as a person, like I thrive in that. So it's one of the things that my mom, you know, kind of incorporated very early on, like as things got heavier and heavier and I was adding more things and saying yes to more things. She's like, okay, let's sit down. Like, is this realistic? Like, is there something we need to let go of? Like, do you have time for this? Do you feel good that, you know, you can move forward with this? I don't want, you know, you to feel X, Y, and Z down the line. So like, it was her like supporting me through that. Like, hey, we can do this together. She was my partner through all of it. She's like, you can say yes to whatever you want, but let's make sure you have the time. Let's put pen to paper. And that's what really gets me moving now, you know, like as now a married woman, you know, working a full-time job, having the graded program. Like, I think that's one of the biggest things I've learned. You know, trust me, I wasn't perfect. You know, when I was a young whippersnapper at 20, 21 years old, moving out to California, bright lights. And I was like teaching like 60 hours a week. And I was like, at a point, like after a few years of that, I was like, okay, this is not good. So like, I had to like fall down a few times to like, be like, where's my priority at? So like, getting back to that was like also important.
And I think that's really important. What you said is the ability as parents to sometimes let our children struggle and do the, not if it's going to hurt them, but let them feel, oh, this is what too much feels like. So they can kind of navigate their own balance and make some decisions. And then with being a newlywed, how has that played over? Do you have any advice for our working parents out there? How do you prioritize your marriage and your time together while you're both pursuing careers?
I think one of the things that helped us is that we actually don't see each other during the week. But we have a different circumstance just because of his job. And, you know, I work from home full time. And then, you know, I go to the studio. But I think what has allowed us to make it work, you know, he's very supportive. I think like having that day in the week that I'm off has been a huge contender. The flexibility of the weekends. Like, I remember you told me like at our interview, like, yeah, we don't do weekends. I was like, what? Are you like punking me right now? Because I was just so used to teaching on Saturdays and Sundays. Like, that was just normal. So like, when I moved here, I was like, wow, like, that's so nice. Like, I have a little bit more freedom. I'll have a lot more balance. I can go be auntie to my nephew. I can go for hikes. Like, that was just so important. So like, you know, being married, you know, it really hasn't changed. Like, because him and I, you know, we value our weekends together. Like, we miss each other during the week and they're like, oh, I get to see you on the weekend. We, you know, get to do our, we call it the old people things. We go grocery shopping. We go take the trash out. Like, you know, like all those things. But that's just like our way of quality time together. And it just works for us.
Yeah, I love that. And you do have that unique situation where he works out of town during the week.
Yep.
So you can just really focus all in on work and then all on.
And then I can check out. Yep.
Yeah. With each other. I love that. And so we are getting ready to head into our exam season here, which will be big. Yes. For our students, we bring in an adjudicator and they get to do their exam. But if we have any listeners interested in joining Graded, what do they need to do?
I think the biggest thing is let us know, because you probably have questions, because at first it might sound like, what is this? You know, it might sound like a little alien-ish a little bit. But I think the biggest thing is just reach out to us. Like, you know, you can contact me on Instagram at your dance teacher friend. Instagram, that's my tag. But I think, you know, if you just have a dancer that, you know, just like loves dance, one, like I think that's number one priority. They must love dance. And then I think two is that they're, you know, someone that likes a little bit of a challenge, like something that, you know, they get to strive for. Like, that's kind of like the best person for like the graded program. Like, they just want that little extra to move forward as a dancer.
And we'll be enrolling new students beginning in April. So just reach out to us with any questions you have about that. And we always say you don't have to be the most gifted dancer. As a parent, you might not feel like you have a good, you know, even way to rate if they're a really talented dancer or not. And everyone has some amount of talent, but for us, graded is really passion. It's passion over the natural ability, because I think with enough passion, enough dedication, anyone can be a beautiful dancer. Mm-hmm. So really, if your kid is loving dance and you feel like you can get them there for multiple classes in a week, graded could be a good fit for you. Well, thank you, Miss Lauren, so much for your time today, for sharing your story with us. And we look forward to hearing more from you again in the future.
Well, thank you.
Our dance parent tip is to locate those costumes. If you're dancing with the center, it's about costume week. And if you're dancing somewhere else, it's about concert week as well. So make sure you know where your costumes are and what you need to go with the costumes, what shoes, what tights, and get everything pulled together. Our dancer fact is the wings. We're learning about all the places on stage and what they're called. So off in the wings is where we wait to go on stage. And the wings are actually created by two big curtains called legs, which we always think is really funny because they don't look anything like legs and the wings actually don't look anything like animal wings. But that's where we wait. And the rule is if you can see the audience, they can see you. So those big legs help hide us when we're waiting backstage. So it's a surprise when we jump on stage. Let's go ahead and get those kids ready. It's time for our kids connection.
Hey guys, it's Aaron, and I have a joke for you yet again. What did the dancer feel after a week of nonstop rehearsals?
I don't know, but it's concert time, so I'm sure you'll tell us.
The agony of defeat.
Yes. And last time we had a riddle that said, if you don't keep me, I'll break. What am I? And the answer to that riddle is what?
A promise.
Yes. Important to keep those promises. Do you have a new riddle for us today, Aaron?
I do. What has four letters, but sometimes has nine?
Oh, that's a good one. Think about it. Tune in to the next episode to see the answer. And finally, our family challenge this week is actually a relaxing one. It is actually a 2-minute neck massage. Now, if you have a dancer or an athlete who's wanting to get more flexible, this is actually one of the things we have them do a couple times a week to help increase their flexibility. But if you're just a parent who needs to relax, this feels great too. So it's great to just move your fingers and thumbs up and down either side of your neck for about 2 minutes. So I encourage kiddos, give your parents a nice little neck rub. Or if you've got a dancer wanting to work on their flexibility, mom or dad, jump in there and give them a little neck massage as well. If you're interested in getting your child in a dance class, we are currently enrolling for our summer camps and intensive, as well as the school year classes. Our school year classes begin in August and run through May with a big performance on stage at CPAC at the end of the school year. So if you'd like to enroll in classes, head to thecenterdance.com where you can see all of our offerings for ages 2 and up.